Blog Talk Radio.
Time is taking flight. Now we have to tell if it's worth the fight.
Revelation chapter 3 says, "We serve a God that opens doors that no one can shut. He shuts doors that no one can open. Behold, I have placed for you an open door that no one can shut. I know you have a little strength, but you have kept my word and not denied my name." Think about that as you're going through your day to day, and welcome to the program. This week on the program, I'm going to give you my thoughts on the upcoming Indianapolis 500. Also, can people in D.C. change their mind? It depends what party you're in, and then they can do whatever they want to do. You know, liberals always preach tolerance, but they're the ones that are usually the least tolerant of anybody. You know, and hard to believe, but if Bruce Jenner was a kid, he could belong to the Girl Scouts of America. I'll explain why. I don't really believe the GOP is behind Hillary Clinton at all, but I'll get to my thoughts on that. And she actually came out and spoke for the first time. Holy cow. Why are there so many people in the GOP race for president? I'll give you my thoughts and my explanations. Also, with cannabis, it seems to be like one step forward, two steps back. I'll give you my thoughts on that. And also, the new First Church of Pot started in Indiana. The conversation starts right now, folks. And welcome to the conversation. What a beautiful, beautiful 40-degree day. Yeah, when we wake up tomorrow, me and my girl are going camping for the 500, so we go every year in RVs. Needing work, so we're going to camp out. And what happens the one time we go to camp out? It's going to be like 46 degrees when we wake up in the morning. Oh, how fun. But I'm not complaining, because there's years where it's like you at 6 o'clock in the morning, you're packing in your cooler frozen bottles of water. And by 11 o'clock, they're melted because it's so hot. But anyways, hard to believe. I've been going to the 500 since the 80s, so I'll get into that a little bit later in the program. Me and my girl just got her approved for our townhome, so it's exciting. Got so much going on today. I'm on like cloud nine right now, everything. But I'm going to get into a little funny side note that I started that has brought to civil work. And it's really, I guess I'm lucky I never had to deal with this. You know, I know people now, but when I was growing up, I never knew transgender people. You know, how would you as a parent explain to your daughter that, why is this boy joining Girl Scouts? Because now, if you're a guy, a boy, and you sit there and you feel like you're a woman, you know, like, I know I'm a woman. I don't know why I was born a man. You know, where's my chest? Where's my dress? Where's my pink? You know, where's my dolls? They are allowing them to join the Girl Scouts. Imagine if you were having to explain to your 7-year-old daughter that, hey, you know, this kid believes he's a woman. Even though he's a boy, he believes he's a girl. I didn't have to deal with that. I mean, I'm sure it was out there. I just never experienced it. But that, I don't know. But Bruce Jenner could actually join the Girl Scouts. He could be a Girl Scout leader now. I'm sure a guy could be a Girl Scout leader. You know, I was in Girl Scouts at once for a little bit until I got kicked out for eating all the brownies. I don't know. It's just a weird. I never would have thought that. But I guess they just want to gain acceptance. And hey, if we do this, we'll get support from everybody. You know, where if we wouldn't allow that, if Girl Scouts wouldn't have allowed that, we're evil. They're evil. You know, liberals will pounce all over because they're the preachers of tolerance that they don't even preach themselves. You know, because they want to go nuts because this restaurant or bakery won't serve this gay couple for the wedding or whatever. But then how dare they? They need to respect other people's beliefs and religion. They got to be tolerant. And then what do? They don't respect my view or someone else's view. You know, if you don't support medical cannabis or cannabis, that's your viewpoint. Don't discriminate against me because I want it legal. You know, I'm not going to go to a Muslim bakery and say, yo, I want to have a cake with, I want you to take powdered sugar and lard, which is pig fat, and sweeten it and use that for icing instead of vegetable shortening. I'm not going to expect them to make the cake. They don't deal with lard. Part of their belief. You know? You want me to be tolerant of your views, but you're not tolerant of my views. Down to in this whole liberalized world. You know, can people in D.C. change their mind? I know I'm 40 years old. I'm 40 years old, and I really haven't changed much about what I believe. But what makes you think that Hillary Clinton's not just going to change her mind as soon as she gets in the office, saying whatever she wants to? You want to know who's done more to shut down marijuana shops? Barack Obama. He's the same guy that was like, you know, I'm going to make sure that there's no funding. We shouldn't be wasting our money going after, you know, establishments and all this stuff that are following the laws. And he's had FBI raid more medical marijuana dispensaries than any president. Right? He was the one that was preaching that, oh, great, we got a president there that's pro-cannabis. Maybe he might actually try to change the laws and make it so that it can be legal everywhere medically. But they'll never let that happen because too much pharmaceutical money would be lost. Now, why would you want to, if you're getting $50 million a year from the federal government to fight the crime, why would you want it? If you're a privatized jail, mandatory minimums you want, because then, hey, we're going to get profit. You know, if we fill up our jails, we'll make money. And we don't want criminals. We just want someone that's simply doing weed or coke or something like that. That way, they'll get a mandatory minimum of 50 years or whatever, and we'll make money. That's how it works. It's a laundering operation. Even though it causes cancer to die and it's safe and everything, you know. It, folks, I just get so sick of the rhetoric of the, you know, oh, it's okay for a liberal to change their mind, but then if a GOP does that, Lord help them. And then that's how it works. It just really does. I'm still getting people every once in a while commenting on my Hillary Clinton page, the Hillary Clinton comment thing, but I can't even write back. So, I don't even read them anymore. I'm like, they're a waste of space. When they couldn't dispute what I said, that's when they're like, okay, we got to delete this guy. He makes sense. It's like Ted Cruz is on Seth Meyers' show, and he goes, well, I read this book and all this stuff, and I filibustered for 21 hours to stop Obamacare. And Seth Meyers was like, how did it work? And they got Ted Cruz to not be able to say anything. I would have said, yeah, how did it work? It was horrible. Because now we got a health care bill that's costing taxpayers millions and millions of dollars, people losing coverage left and right. I didn't have an increase in my generic prescriptions through my work up until Obamacare. Now I'm up to $20 for a generic, and I was paying like $7. And it didn't start increasing until Obamacare. But whatever. Not having, like, having this right to work keeps unions from what? So, because, like, somebody was talking about, like, well, they're against this right to work. And what we're talking about here as we move on is, in Indiana, if it's a unionized company, I have the right to not join that union. I don't have to pay dues. And without a union, all you do is your pay goes down and that all this bull, and it doesn't, you know, no benefit for the worker. I'm like, well, really? Why do you think Hostess is now in Mexico owned by a Mexican company? Because they were a union bakery, and there's so many bakeries out there that they can't just keep, you know, if they demand, hey, we need more money, they couldn't afford to pay them what they were paying them. And do, you know, it's ridiculous. And then I've had friends that have worked in unionized kitchens, and well, you can't help the dishwasher because it's a union, and you can't light the pilot on the stove because that has to be done by maintenance. It's in the union. It's ridiculous. In a way, I almost would love to have a kitchen. Like, okay, well, I can't help the dishwasher, sorry. Yep, union won't allow it. You know, literally, if you, like, if it didn't say break down the salad bar, and you're supposed to set it up, you just leave. They can't force you to break it down, because I'll go to my union rep. You just can't do that, sorry. But we've got, you know, but we got to force people to have unions. Right to work doesn't eliminate unions. It gives you the right to join if you want to. If you support a union, great. If you don't, you don't have to. They don't want to be tolerant of, they want to have, if you're going to a company that the employees are union employees, you have to join the union. They want to force you to. They don't want to give you the option. They don't want to give, they don't see the other side of the story. You got to read the whole story, not just the headlines, folks. And I tell people that all the time, because they, for a while there was these, all these stories of man barred from flying an American flag. How dare he? And when you look into the story where he lives, they have a homeowners association that doesn't allow any flag to be flown, period. Doesn't matter. No flags. No flagpole, no flag. It doesn't matter. Now, why they can't have it to say you can fly an American flag and only an American flag and nothing else, you know, if you want to hang it from the side of your house or whatever, just no flagpole. Because they could easily say, well, when Beth doesn't fly an American flag, well, where he is in his homeowners association, they can't have a flagpole. They can't have a flag. I don't know why. I guess that's, who knows. A girl I knew, Emmy Davis, where she lived, she couldn't even hang clothes. She was hanging clothes on a clothesline outside her house, and they were going off. Well, you're not allowed to do that. The homeowners association won't allow that. And she fought back. She's like, you, because it, I don't know. I guess they think it makes, like, you're homeless or something. I don't know. Like you don't have pride. You know, like hanging clothes to dry outside. That is an eyesore, really. But I guess an American flag is on a flagpole. I guess many homeowners associations say that. Maybe that's the thing you need to look into. Okay, well, how can I have an American flag flying? Then let me reverse this. How can I make sure that, because I'm going to do that if I move in here. Because you could say, okay, no other flags, but to deny an American flag to be flown, I mean, it's not like they're allowing any flag you want to be flown except the American flag. No, they're banning every flag. You can't fly anything. And probably part of it's because you might offend somebody. I pray to God, however me and my girl have a kid, I pray to God that they don't come to me and say, well, your son needs to take off that American shirt. I'm like, really? I don't think so. Yeah, I'll take that shirt. No, actually, if he died, I'd bury him in that shirt. You know, he ain't taking that shirt off. No way. If you continue to harass my son about that shirt, I'll be calling the police and I'll be getting an attorney. Okay, we're in America. And if you're going to tell me that that shirt's going to offend someone, I want to know who they are. And I'm going to make sure that they're asked to leave. I'm not going to go to France and say, how dare you have a French flag hanging? Je vais problème ici. You know, oh, but I'm not going to go to Germany and be offended by all their crap. But you come here and they're going to be offended. But that's why you got to read between, you got to read the story. Because some of these things, like, they'll have, like, well, Ted Cruz is against school lunches for kids. And when you read the whole thing, he just wants to try to cut down on the spending of that. Because in a lot of states where they have said, okay, hey, we're going to cut and make it harder for you to get unemployment and different things, people have actually done things to get off of welfare. They're trying to make it to where it's welfare is what it was designed for, to help you out in the short term, not as a career. Yeah, I got 5 kids, and I get like 700 in food stamps a month, and then I get 250 child allowance for each kid a month. You know, how am I going to make $1,400 working, man? I'm not going to work. I get paid. I'm not going to do anything. And they're starting to change a lot of that when people are seeing that, look at what these people on EBD cards are buying. I'm not buying that stuff. I don't have a tattoo, but they're paying for one with your tax dollars. I'm not against helping people that need it. I'm against people that are living on it. And why work when I can live on it? What I'm talking about. You got to read the whole line. It's not like we're GOP, we're against programs. I'm for some programs. I just don't want them to be a life thing. I want you to be able to, okay, this is to help you so you get back on your feet. Not to, okay, well, look at this. I'm going to put my feet up now. I got government benefits. Woo! Man, I can't believe it, man. Oh, thanks to the government and food stamps, I'll never have to work again. No, we need to get it. No one wants to work anymore. That's apparent from where I live, where I work. People just want to collect a check. Well, look at how rich. Well, I want some of Donald Trump's money. Well, yeah, you can have some of his money. Work for it. Everything I have, I've earned. What a rant, really. But we're not. That's why you got to read between the lines. Not just read the headline. Read all the article, and you'll find out that, well, they're not banning. They're banning all flags. Why did they? You know, why does it? The article say, well, man not able to fly American flag. Well, he can't fly any. I mean, if he could fly like a Nazi flag, then I'd be up in arms. If, okay, you can have a flagpole, you can fly any flag, but the American flag, no. That'd be a whole different ballgame. That's what I always tell people, because I'll read things and it'll say, like, well, this person told off that person, and when you watch the clip, I'm like, that was it? Really? Okay. When Bin Laden was killed, there were over a million plus documents seized. Only 100 plus have been released. Why? That's Obama's administration. Why aren't they releasing this stuff? What's in it? There is evidence that he had all kinds of 9/11 truther books and, and that I don't know if he was going through to look and see, well, what happened? Where did we succeed with 9/11? Where did we fail? How could we have done more damage? Like all kinds of things to prepare basically for another attack. Oh, they're gonna attack. It's not if, they already have. They tried at that Muslim cartoon contest. The lady of the Boston bomber, the mom of the Boston bombers, like, you Americans might be laughing now as you kill my son, but America will burn in hell. Praise Allah and all this stuff. And I'm like, scary. Because I don't really see anyone having bells going off in their head, like, okay, tornado siren. That's what should be, everyone in this country should be having a tornado siren going off. We're not talking, okay, doomsdayer. We're talking, okay, they don't like America. They are coming to attack us. Be vigilant. Be prepared. Because you might be able to stop something big happening. It was just a one step above a mall cop police officer that stopped that big issue from going on in Garland, Texas. You want to know one man who changed the world? Jesus Christ. He was one man. So was Martin Luther King. They were one man. I'm kind of glad that not many people watch the news. Because when you got people like Jesse Jackson and Barack Obama and all those, Al Sharpton pushing the race issue, and most people aren't hearing it, it's good. That's the one good thing I can say. Is they're trying to push the race issue. You know the blacks owned the slaves? You know that in Africa there were blacks that actually helped capture other tribal black people to help send them as slaves? You want to talk about slavery? Well, blacks owned blacks, so learn your history. We need to go forward, not backwards. You don't have to push that everywhere you go. You're not going to go anywhere if you dwell in the past. Give you a little moment to think about that. No, that's what they're doing. They're wanting to destroy this. They want to basically, in my eyes, put martial law into place. They want to have federalized police force. And they're going to do anything they can to get it. And that's my opinion. And then you got half the people that are like, wow, I just don't, man, you're a radical. You're a Tea Party. Like I told someone one time on that Hillary Clinton page, I basically wrote him, I said, you know what? I'm 40 years old. I support my God. I support my guns. And I support what I support, and it really hasn't changed. The things that I believe in haven't changed. But look at how many GOP people change their minds all the time. I just don't get it. Why, I don't know. They're trying to destroy this country and no one cares. And why are so many GOPs joining the presidential race? Very simple. Because they want to divide the vote so that it's almost impossible for a Ben Carson or a Ted Cruz to win. They want to keep one of their establishment Republicans in there that's going to be politics as usual, that's going to be buddy-buddy with all the Republicans and Democrats, and they're all going to keep their little corrupt game going on. They don't want to have someone new coming in and trying to clean house. That's not what they want. They want to have politics as usual. They want to have a good old boys club person in there. And that's what's going to happen. Because they're going to get all these people in that have no intention of... Mike Huckabee has no chance in hell of winning the election. He's in there to divide the vote, just like a lot of these other people. But they're going to say all the, they're going to say the same rhetoric. Like I told this one guy, I said, look at all these GOPs and what they're going to say. I guarantee you 90% of them are not going to do what they're going to say as soon as they get into office. But, oh, Hillary Clinton's going to do what she says because she's Hillary Clinton. She's never lied in her life. I mean, she'd have a nose of 500 miles long. I did not delete the emails. Four people did not die in Benghazi. I mean, seriously, I don't get it. I just don't. I don't understand where people vote, where these voters get their ideas, and this drives me to drink, you know. You know, just I know Republicans are going to change their mind. So are Democrats. I don't. But whatever. I don't know if anyone's heard about this, but we have in Indiana, there's a Religious Freedom and Restoration Act that was just passed that's basically mimicking the law put into place by Bill Clinton. And because of that, Bill Levin is actually starting a First Church of Cannabis. He says, under that act, he is protected. And it's based on the belief of cannabis, you know, because they believe it, like, you know, it's sacred to them. And they got to treat it, it's got to be realistic. They got to have, this is what we 125% believe. At the end of the service or whatever, you know, we pay homage to it sacredly. And if you do it all the time, you know, if they do it only on Sunday and only, and even then, I think it's a long shot. I think feds will just come in and bust them. And I don't know. I hope he's legit, but I can almost guarantee he's just trying to find an excuse to smoke weed. You know, and it demeans, and it's going to demean good churches. I mean, I hope he really, this is what he truly, honestly believes, and this is what he stands for, and this is what he does, and, you know, if he has bylaws or whatever, this is what, this is church doctrine, and they follow that. But we will have to wait and see. They've got tax-exempt status and everything, so, you know, who knows? But it just seems like anymore, it's like you get one step forward with cannabis and two steps back. You know, when you have medications that you don't even know what the medication's for in the commercial, all you're hearing is all the side effects. And that's legal, but cannabis, oh God, it's dangerous. You know, we can't legalize it because it's a gateway drug. Well, then explain Dunkin' Donuts, man. That's a gateway food. You know, start with Dunkin' Donuts, you might work your way up to Sweetwater's Donuts, and then maybe to the Cheesecake Factory, and before you know it, you're working at Hostess. And then they fire you because all you eat is the food and you don't work. It's a Schedule 1 drug, and all the other drugs are Schedule 2. How do you go backwards? I'm going to go from a more harmful cannabis to a less harmful cocaine. Because they're still adamant that cocaine is safer than cannabis. Really? You're going to go on a gateway drug. When you go to higher drugs, not like less, more safer drugs, But like I said, Obama has done more to go after dispensaries than any president. But he was the one that was acting like in the very beginning, like, oh, hey, we got a pro-cannabis president. Wrong. He changed his mind. Wow. He can do that. And he did. You know, Hillary Clinton actually about gave me a heart attack because she actually talked to the press. I think she's just trying to stay lay low, and then when the vote comes in, then, you know, most people that are going to vote for her, like I've said before, they'll go in, and I don't know what they would do, honestly, if she wasn't on the ballot. If they came in and she didn't win the nomination. Yeah, I wanted to vote for Hillary Clinton. What do you mean, vote for Hillary? She didn't get the nomination. What? My shoes are untied. You know, I mean, seriously. If she didn't get the nomination, I don't know what some of these people do, because, you know, they won't know that she didn't get the nomination until they go to vote. That's how smart they are. I'm not saying I'm like a politics expert, but I want to know something about them. They're all gonna lie to me. I'd love to go to like forensic school to learn how to like the micro expressions, so I could like watch the videotapes. And you know, I saw a special on this on like Bigfoot and UFOs and stuff, and they had this micro expressions expert, and she's like, "Well, I can't tell you what they saw. All I can tell you is he believes what he saw. He believes he saw something in the sky that defies his knowledge of physics, that is not from this earth. He believes, he says he saw an unidentified flying object. He believes what he's saying. I'm not saying what he saw. He believes what he saw in the water. It was like a giant snake that was like 100 feet long, 3 feet wide. We don't know what he saw. We just know, I can just tell you that he believes what he is saying. He's not making this up. You know, I can sit there and like watch that. Oh, look at that guy. He's full of beep. Yeah. But they wouldn't, I mean, like some of my friends, I found out, no matter what you show them, they don't believe you anyways. So, anyways. But I think Hillary would be too moderate. She'd be far left, but she'd be considered like a conservative compared to Obama. And I think, honestly, they want to have someone in there Obama does that's going to follow his agenda. It's going to keep his plan going. So, I just hate seeing more and more people, because you don't hear all these people lining up in the Democratic Party to try to run for Democrat. But all these GOPs are running, and some of them don't even have a chance in heck. They're just there to try to divide the vote up. That's it. That is it, my friends. Question, because people always want to know my opinion or ask questions or whatever. And I'm still at don't know what to tell people. How do you get someone that's never going to believe anything negative about Obama, no matter what you show? The only way is if Hillary Clinton doesn't get the nomination, and I don't think, if she's as a shoo-in as they claim, why would they have anyone else run? They would just let her run. You know, seriously. And what really gets me is, I don't know if y'all remember this, but it was a while ago. Geraldo Rivera was fired from ABC News from donating $200 to someone's campaign. And how much is George Stephanopoulos donated to the Hillary campaign? And they're keeping him right on there. He's probably getting a raise so he can donate more. Okay. You need to find a way to funnel it to somebody to have him donate. You know, that way she gets the money, but it's amazing. You know, someone gets fired for a $200 donation, but then someone else is like, can donate all he wants, and what the heck, who cares? He's a Democrat. We have to legitimately at least talk about this. We're not letting you go, but just express your beliefs. You know, say, well, I'm sorry, I donated to Hillary Clinton's campaign. No, you're not sorry. It's ridiculous how call it both ways, call it both ways. That's all I'm saying. But they can't. They're the establishment. They never will. As I was saying a little bit before that, I don't know what we can do to get someone that I'm voting for Hillary already. They don't even know anything. They're just voting for Hillary. Okay, what is her platform? You can't even know what she's running on. What are her plans? She hasn't announced what she's going to do, but you're going to vote for her, period. How do you change someone like that? First of all, someone like that shouldn't be allowed to vote. Because what are you going to do come election day if she's not on the ballot? Nothing. We got about 21 minutes left in the program. This part of the program is brought to you by the American flag. If you don't like me support my country, call 1-800-LEAVE-THE-US. That's 1-800-LEAVE-THE-US. Get out of my country if you don't support the American flag. You don't support the country that you live in. Get out. I'm not going to expect you to want me to stay in your country if I don't like what you stand for. I'd expect to be thrown out. I expect to have, police and military and everything going, bye-bye. Don't let the door hit you in the boo-boo on the way out. Hard to believe. But so many people just have that belief. They do. As we move on, I can't even remember. It's hard for me to fathom this because, one of the biggest spectacles of racing, or one of the biggest races in the world, is right down the road from me in Indianapolis, the Indianapolis 500. I've been going since I don't know how long, forever, it seems like. I love it. It's an amazing time, and I want to give my thoughts on the race. And it's going to be weird this year because it'll be the first time we won't have Jim Neighbors. Back home again in Indiana. And who's going to do it? Because I remember the one year they did it when Jim Neighbors wasn't there, he was sick. They actually had, everyone just sing. So, I don't know. That will probably have to be played at a reception back home again in Indiana. I love that song. But, a lot of confusion I want to get into because they've already had the 100th anniversary of the track. That was 1911. Ray Haroon won the first Indy 500 in 1911. It actually used to start back at 11 o'clock in the morning, 11 o'clock in the morning, and what they did, because it would take about 6 hours, and they wanted to be done with the race before dinner time. And they moved it to 1 o'clock so they could get more ratings and all that. And it's a very historic thing, because Chevy used to do that, and they used to test cars and stuff there, and it used to be all brick, and not many people know this, but there's a reason why, like NASCAR, cars are almost identical, and Indy cars, the cars are almost identical, because in the 70s, there were some drivers, one in particular. I'm going to think it was a Penske team. And they found out that on the engine, if they put this piece on this engine, it was like a miniature wing and it cooled down the engine. And it was to help keep the engine cool. And that's what the basis was. But the main point of doing that was they found out that it worked like a wing and got them downforce and they got faster speeds, and no one could even come close. Like, they were 20 seconds faster than anyone out there, you know, and that's why they keep the cars almost in, because they found a loophole. Well, you can't have this wing thing on the back. Well, if we do this, it'll keep the downforce and it'll do everything, but since it's attached to the engine, it's part of the engine, and that's how they got, and they try to eliminate the loophole so that that can't happen and all kinds of different things. If you ever wondered why they drink milk at the end of the race, there's a man by the name of Louis Myers that won the race for the first time in 1933. And at the end of it, he was hot and thirsty and he demanded buttermilk, and they got him a glass of buttermilk. And that's kind of how the tradition started. And it really started in 1936 when Louis Myers won the race for a second time. And when he asked for buttermilk, they brought it to him in a glass jug. And he drank it out of that, and the tradition started. Now you have like 2% milk, skim milk, I think whole milk, and you can get soy milk or almond milk if you can't drink milk. So you get your choice. But it's just a very, very, very big tradition. I couldn't imagine going to the Daytona 500 because, and I'll explain, because that's like a long ways away, and I know the 500 is like 45 minutes to an hour drive, and when you get there, the weekend goes by so fast. And when the race is over, you within an hour, within about 3 hours, you can be home and relaxing, and, you know, usually because like you'll go out to eat or something or whatever, but you can actually take it easy. Or if you're in like Daytona, how you're like really far away, and so I think it's going to be a good time. My driver Alex Tagliani got in 22nd place, and my other favorite driver, Sebastian Bourdais, is 7th. But you think about it, Scott Dixon won the pole with a time of 226.760. Last place qualifier, 33rd, Brian Clausen had a 220.523, 6 mile per hour difference from the first to last. Alex Tagliani came in at 223.722. I remember a couple years ago when he won the pole, it said tags you're it. He's hard to find anything from because, like, the last couple years, he's just raced under for someone and he's just gotten a ride, so they don't have any memorabilia for him. And where do I find this stuff? Because one year I met some Canadians. Where'd you find? I've been trying to find this stuff for years. I'm like, there was almost like a finish line inside the track that was like all like NASCAR and IndyCar stuff, and they had a hat and a shirt, and I got the shirt. And I have so many hats, I don't need a hat, but I should have gotten a hat because you can never find them anymore. But then I have so many, it's like, why? But it's a good time. It's a really good time. I mean, I remember one of my very biggest experiences. Well, 2003 was the year that Buddy Rice won, and it went from, like, I'm pretty sure it was that year. And it went from, like, okay to downpouring rain and tornado sirens were going off and we're running for cover. It was scary. And there are wrecks that happen, like, right in front of you that, like, you're watching the cars go by, you know, and bang, it hits you. And, like, a guy slammed into the wall right in front of us, then went down and hit the wall in between pit lane and the track. And a piece of debris flew off, went onto the other side of the field and hit somebody. And it's right where we were. And my mom and dad are calling in a frantic wondering if we're okay. And they're like, no, we're fine. It's just it went into the infield and hit somebody and he was okay. You know, but just some of the more memorable moments of the 500. So, and one year it was, like, so hot, like I said, we had major, it was, like, so hot that, like, by, like, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, the water that was frozen was water. You know, the frozen bottles of water were water. Lord help us. It was like, I mean, it was literally like, psh. I was filling the bottles up with just water from the fountain, just dumping it on me. Like, as long as I don't get my skin wet, I don't care. And this year, it's like, okay, long pants and a long sleeve shirt, and it'll be 70. As long as I got an undershirt on, you know, put like a racing shirt underneath. So when I take off my hoodie or whatever, I got a racing shirt on, and I got long pants, so I'll be warm. Normally, you're not thinking about staying warm at the 500. I mean, you're trying to get cool, but this year it's going to be about staying warm. And so I just, the only thing I don't like is, like, on carb day, they usually have a band, you know, like one band. And now they're going to have four, Jane's Addiction and 38 Special. I'm like, I just want to see one. Because then you got, like, because now they, because I think on Legends Day they have a concert you can go to and all this stuff. And I mean, you could probably spend $1,000 if you wanted to. By the time you get the $70 race tickets, the $30 carb day, $10 for the Legends Day. Then if you want to go to the concert during Legends Day, there's another like $40 or whatever. And if you want to get like a VIP stage ticket for the carb day, it's like $100 where you get like high up seating and all this stuff and private bathrooms and different, all this, you know, all this gugon. You can, you know, it's like, I'm mainly there for like the Indy Lights race. The concert, like on carb day, was just like an extra bonus. And I'm basically there to see the Indy Lights race and see the last part of qualifying, and then Legends Day you can get autographs and go to the driver's meeting and stuff. And but yeah, it's pretty cool. It's a good time. It just goes by so fast. And I can imagine if I went to California to see a race or something, and I'm like, as soon as it's done, okay, now what do we do? Because I can't just in like 2 hours be home. But it's just, it's I guess it's mind-boggling to me because it's like so huge and it's like right down the road for me. You know? So many people take for granted how big of a spectacle that really is. You know, they still taped away the race and air it at 7 o'clock. I think it's to try to get people to go. I don't know. If you're going to go, you're going to go. If you don't, you don't. You know, it's not for, racing's not for everybody. You know? It's just, you go once and you're hooked. Holy. And then it's like, just an amazing time. I mean, and that's what the only thing I don't like is there's a lot of people who do the other 500 that don't go to the race. They're just there for the party. And some people go to the race, but it's just one big party still. They're not really in, you know, they don't follow the Verizon IndyCar Series at all, so I have no idea. And, you know, for years I was doing fantasy IndyCar, and I'm like checking out my points and where's my drivers, and, you know, and. But there's about 7 minutes left in the program, folks, and I think it's going to be, but I don't know, because, like, the weather's been changing, like, so much, because last I looked, it was not supposed to rain at all. Now there might be rain Saturday, not Saturday, but Sunday. It's going to be beautiful Friday, beautiful Saturday, and then Sunday, but that's just what my phone says. It doesn't give you an hour by hour, so it may not be till late. Who knows? But it's a good time. They don't have light, so they end up having to go too late. As long as they get the halfway point, then they'll get it in and they'll call it. And it's a good time. I really suggest you go once. I mean, I've gone since like 80-something, so, but yeah, you should go. And it's, I mean, just like the museums, I never get, that museum will never get tiring. I can go there. No, I probably will go there Saturday again. But it's fun. It's a great time. It's just incredible to see how that, because it really does give you kind of like an evolution, like an evolution of racing. To see how they've come along and how this is why they have the cars stay as close to stock as possible. Because you may add this to the engine. Well, the intent is this, but what you're really using it for is for to promote downforce. Yeah, it's going to cool the engine down, but you don't really need that. You're doing it for the downforce to get faster car. I was at Mike Daughter's one time, we were having a bonfire, and I came out to hear what was going on with the race, and Mike goes, "What the hell are you doing out here?" I'm like, "I'm listening to the IndyCar race." "Oh, crap, that was tonight." I'm like, "Yeah, it was." I said, "Don't worry, Dan Weldon's lapped first place, lapped second place. Dan Weldon's the only one on the lead lap. Everyone else is one lap down." He's dang. So I shut it off and went back. I spent like 5 minutes listening to it on the radio. But it was good. He was a great. I got to see all his races at Indy. He was an amazing driver. And it's a good time. And as we have a great Indy 500 weekend, or whatever you do, don't forget why we have this weekend. Don't forget the men who died to give you, I mean, I'll call it like it. I remember in high school I used to joke, you can't keep me from saying these words. I have freedom of speech. I told the teacher that one time. I never thought that now I'd be like, well, yeah, now I really want to say I have freedom of speech because, Lord forbid, they're trying to infringe on that. But in high school, I never thought they were trying to infringe on my freedom of speech. I always used to say, yep, I can say that. I have freedom of speech. Well, we have a Gap High School handbook, and it says in here, okay, well, ma'am, your little handbook here, Constitution is a federal type law, and federal would trump any law you have. Because even if you allow me to smoke pot in school, the feds can still arrest me because it's federally illegal, you know. If you said I could drink in that handbook, I would still get arrested because you have to be 21 to drink in Indiana. Yeah. And I think one person was just like, Man, this guy is good. I don't know. I did paintball one time, and within 2 minutes, I got bam, hit in the head and the face mask. I couldn't imagine what they go through. So think of that this weekend. Take a shirt. Take a support your troops shirt. And if you see a vet, have them sign it. They're my heroes. Some people had G.I. Joe. I have the U.S. Marines. My dad's a hero, man. He was in the Coast Guard. Presidential Honor Guard, too. You know, I have freedom because of him. I got about 1:30 left in the program, folks, and I want to thank y'all for tuning in. And if you ever get a chance, and if you're going to be out to 500, look us up. Me and my girl will be out there. Maybe you got a battery-operated heater we can have, because we have no electricity, because we're camping outside. Yeah, my girl didn't realize that. I'm like, yeah, the electricity that you get is for an RV. Well, if you got it, yeah, we could bring a generator out there, but that'd be a pain in the butt. I don't mind. At worst, I'll just climb in the car that we'll have down there and just turn it on and turn the heater on. Good night. It's good. I've never had a Boeing 500. Never. There's always something. Because if it wasn't, like, going to be cold, you'd be worrying about it being 95 degrees, you know, sweating your butt off. You know, do I got sunscreen? Do I got 10 cases of water to stay hydrated? You know, whatever, so. And every time I'm there, I always try to get troops to sign my shirt, and it just means the world to me and to them, and, you know, get to thank them. So, as you're out there this weekend, think about why we have Memorial Week. Thank you so much. Thank you to all the military men and women out there. God bless you all. Goodbye.